What follows is the chapel program for Thursday, April the 2nd, 1981. Today's speaker is Morton Rose, the Vice President of the Sunday School Board.
These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, for the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I shall say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do you now believe? Let us pray. Father God, we praise your name. We ask your blessings and your guidance upon this body, this day, as we seek to remind ourselves not only of the impending season of the year when we recall the momentous walk you made to give your life for the redemption of mankind, as we remind ourselves of the great mission in which we are involved as Christians on a journey, on a pilgrimage for you, to share the message of redemption among all persons. We ask your guidance this day upon the speaker, upon the participants in this worship. Amen. We're pleased to welcome to our campus for this week the Missions Education Council of the Southern Baptist Convention, many of whom are in our worship this morning. They are a coordinating body for the aspect of mission education, promotion, and utilization among our denomination. And we're indeed grateful that you have chosen to be with us during this beautiful season of the year. And our prayers are with you as you're involved in this significant area of work. One of the participants in this council is Dr. Morton Rose, who is Vice President of the Baptist Sunday School Board. He is responsible for the church programs and services areas of ministry of that particular board. And he will be guiding us in our worship thoughts this morning after the choir sings.
I suppose that none of us really fully experiences everything we'd like to in life. I had hoped as a young man to be a student at Southeastern Seminary. I not only missed that opportunity, for I'm a graduate of Southern, I almost missed coming here at all, for this is my first visit. I am again impressed with the magnitude, almost to the point of being overwhelmed, with Southern Baptist institutions, and certainly this great campus and educational program impresses me equally to that of the great institutions of Southern Baptist. I have something on my heart that I want to share everywhere. It is not new. It's as old as the Bible, as far as I'm concerned. And much has been said about it in recent years. I turn to the book of Acts, and I read about an affirmation service that the church at Antioch conducted. Possibly a very simple service, where God had impressed that congregation to set aside two men to start the first and eventually the great missionary movement that we know about. Let me paraphrase. While the church at Antioch was worshiping the Lord, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them." Then they laid their hands on them and sent them out. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went. I call this not a commissioning service, certainly not an ordination of these two men, but an affirmation of what God was doing in their lives and what God wanted to do in the world. That church at Antioch affirmed what God was to do in the lives of these two men, and that church became a part of that activity. The biblical truths related to the priesthood of the believers, as we would identify it today, is one of the most pivotal issues facing Southern Baptist, undergirds much of a lot of our contemporary issues today. One of the axioms of our faith is expressed in the idea that every believer is a priest. If that is true, I want to draw a further detail on the axiom. That if every believer is a priest, therefore every believer is a minister. I further want to focus that concept with the assumption that if every believer is a priest and therefore a minister, I want to look at how we go about affirming that in the lives of the believers in the local congregation. Now, to accent this subject, I want to highlight only one of several major questions. That one question is the question of affirmation. How does a church go about the task of supporting and celebrating and affirming the minister who is called a believer, or the ministries of all of its believers? Can we perform those affirmations which say that every believer is a minister? Is that possible? When we become action-oriented and ask that kind of question, rather than being theoretical or philosophical, then we face the question of how we do it. I think in these minutes, I just want to say, let's think about affirming in the local context the ministries of every believer. Southern Baptists do affirm certain ministries by ordaining certain ministers. If we accept the premise that God calls all believers to a ministry, then we cannot be content with a system which attends to only a fraction of those who are called. Affirmation for the ministry of each believer is critically, as far as I'm concerned, in the theological realm. For it undergirds our whole premise of the priesthood of the believer. It's also a critical issue as far as the spiritual impact of the individual believer who needs the grounding and support of the body. Now we know that sometimes the ministry of believers is called the ministry of the laity. That later is defined in terms of what we actually do in our churches as being an attender, which I don't want to minimize as important, a tither, which I do not want to minimize, it is important, and a committee member or a Sunday school teacher or an usher or whatever, and this is generally the limit that we place on what the ministry of believers really is. I want to broaden that concept much more than that. Within the life of a church today, there is little or no formal means of confirming the ministries of believers. There is only one process for testing, affirming, and celebrating the response of people to the call of God. That one way is ordination, through which a church validates special kinds of ministries, as I believe it ought to do, such as that of a pastor or some similar ministers and deacons. The absence of any kind of process for many others suggests that the only categories of ministry are those categories that fall into the ordination of individuals. Even when others are able, through their own efforts, to claim their call to a ministry as a believer, they're deprived of the church's affirmation of that calling. They also lack the support from and the accountability to the church body. I should be proud to be a part of a growing movement to affirm the ministries of all believers. However, we will meet and do meet resistance to this concept. And I'd like to say to this biblical imperative, having been a pastor, having been ordained, and I do not deny either, even though when I left my last pastorate in Louisville, Kentucky, I visited with one of the clerks in the bookstore there, and she said, "I hear you're leaving the ministry." Now, many of you face that who are in denominational work, you who are on the faculty, et cetera, here. I said, "No, I'm not. I'm going to Missouri to be a missionary." She says, "Well, that's what I mean. You're leaving the ministry." I thought being a missionary surely was a part of the ministry. She said, "Well, you won't be preaching." I said, "I'll be preaching more than ever." She said, "Well, that's what I mean. You won't be in one place all the time." And I said, "That's right. I will not be pastoring your church." "Well, that's what I mean. You're going to leave the ministry." I never did convince her that I wasn't leaving the ministry. I was even going to stop preaching, which in many Southern Baptist eyes is the ministry itself. So there are different concepts, and there are all sorts of resistance to the idea that every believer is a minister. And the pastoral consideration which surfaces frequently is the concern for creating a two-caste system for ministers. Well, this is a sensitive concern and a real one, but we need to recognize that what we have now is a two-class system, the ordained clergy and the unordained non-ministerial laity, which is far from the teachings of the Scripture as far as I'm concerned. There's also resistance from the ordained, those of us who could fear that emphasizing any other ministry or all the believers being ministers would diminish the significant role of the ordained ministry. And on the other side, We have some church members who strike at the whole issue that we've been raising, some of us for years, strikes at the whole issue of believers, the believer's priesthood. They think the ministry, as I have just illustrated, is to be performed only by the ordained, and that in a limited way as far as I'm concerned. They will say by word and sometimes only by deed that we think that the pastor is the only real minister. Maybe some of these associates he has might be, and we will pay and pray and cheer while he or they do the work. And more mundanely, I've heard it said, that's what we're paying the preacher to do, let him do it. An additional facet to the problem is the question of terminology that I have used. I'm using the term affirmation to refer to the means by which ministers are recognized. Now, much more has to be done before recognition, I know that. But being pragmatic, I want to focus the issue right here. How do we recognize? How do we have authorization and support and celebration in a congregational setting of all those believers who've been called to the ministry and want to express it? Ordination is one and, of course, a fine way of affirmation. But ordination is a kind of blanket affirmation for the ministry of only a few believers, which fails to address the specificity of calling beyond those categories. Therefore, the assumption is that to be effective, affirmation of all believers in ministry has to specify the particular gifts and the call of the individual believer, which puts other imperatives upon us greater than we've ever faced before, especially as religious educators. For many believers need is great to say, here I am. I'm just completing a task force work with a representative group of Southern Baptists, including a seminary professor, on this very theme, where one of the ladies, active in her church, her husband, an outstanding building contractor, said, I have heard this, I stand amazed. I've worked in my church, but today I realize what God can do through me. And I've never been so challenged and so ready to answer God's call to the ministry as a believer. I believe there are thousands of people we call laypersons who would feel the same way. For years we've been saying, make your faith a 7-day-a-week way of life. But we have not put the matter into focus. We have not adequately helped believers know, understand, discover, become equipped, be affirmed to begin his or her ministry. Consequently, being specific is a real struggle. We've got to go beyond the ministry of the pastor and the ministry of the missionary to every believer. And we need to be specific. But to turn away from the struggle of being specific about the gifts and the calling of God for every believer in these areas doesn't mean that we ought not to cope with it. It is my belief, firmly, that our failure to advance the truth of believers in ministry is one cause for today's church's ineffectiveness in significantly influencing its community and modern society. It is all believers, especially the volunteer, non-ordained believer, who shapes society, who raises children, and runs industries. If a church cannot recognize, equip, and affirm these believers in their ministries, how can we expect them to be informed by a vision of what God's kingdom really is as we try to advance it upon the face of the earth? The message which an organized church broadcasts at this time is that the ministry is the work of a chosen few within the institutional framework of the church. There are exceptions, of course, but this continues to accent itself, especially as we look at the strong movement toward authoritarianism in terms of what leadership is. Or we look at the concepts of submissivism on the part of wives in the family setting. We have all kinds of movements today that disturb me greatly as it's set over against the concepts that I'm trying to share with you that I know that many of you would hear gladly. The call to challenge all believers to enter their ministry is not a call to tear down a few believers who are ordained. The call is for us all to join together in what Christ wants us to do in this world. If a person is affirmed by his or her congregation for ministry, then that person's work can no longer be a private affair. A person is directly joined to the holy and serious business of ministering in the context of life itself, as well as in the church's institutional setting. Despite some resistance, affirmation is going on in different congregations and in different ways. A sense of affirmation does seem to result from recognizing one's gift and one's calling. Being a part of a support group in which the members meet the explicit purpose of sustaining each other, that support group ought to be a church, is a powerful form of affirmation. While many believers have pointed to the support which they receive outside the church, the affirmation of the congregation seems to be critical for building the belief that one's life has a ministry. And that ministry will more than likely be expressed not only in the church and through the church activities, but in the common life, the daily operations and activities. Friends may be indispensable in helping the believer do a better job as a minister in that casual, informal way. But we need the church to remind us in whose name we really serve and minister. At this point, the parachurch groups are filling the vacuum by calling forth Baptists and affirming their ministry. In doing so, they provide their channel, not the local church, for helping believers with those ministries. I just know, I believe, and I think the time is far past that if particular ministries are affirmed and publicly celebrated within the congregation, the effect would be dramatic. We could have a great, mighty, marching army. The believers involved would experience a sense of support and empowerment, which has impact not only how they think about their ministries, but also how they function as ministers through the church in the world. The implication is this, that a church and its structures, programs, and activities really do convey a message about it, what is worthwhile in the eyes of God. Therefore, that church should be retuned to know that we're dealing with something here that's extremely basic in the movement of Christianity today as well as in history. I believe people really do feel they have a calling and that they're ready for it to be celebrated, both within the formal structures of their church and through that church into their lives and work. The underside of this implication is that we have been failing to convey a message, in my judgment, that we have been bottling up a power waiting to be released. That is disturbing. But there is an ambivalent side. Whereas that is disturbing, the power is there. And it's also exciting to recognize that that power does exist. Let us release it and share it. Shall we pray? Our Father, we look about us and we see in our mind's eye possibly millions called Southern Baptist. Some who are dormant, unaware, many who are right on the verge, and then some who are eagerly waiting to hear your call, recognizing their gifts to become ministers in the true sense of the word. Help us to be a part of their response, of their celebration, their commitment, and their work. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.